The mass shooting in El Paso, Texas, is stoking anxiety on both sides of the border.
It runs a gamut of, you know, shock and horror and this sort of prototypical wondering why. Why here? Why now?
Plus, China deals a blow to the U.S. farm belt. And Nobel laureate Toni Morrison has died at the age of 88. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Before we get to our story on anxiety at the border, here are some other top stories we're following today. China, one of the biggest importers of U.S. agricultural commodities, now says it will suspend all imports of U.S. agricultural products. The Wall Street Journal's Kirk Maltese says the latest blow in the U.S.-China trade dispute compounds what has already been a difficult time for the U.S. farm belt.
This year is unprecedented just in terms of the string of unfortunate events that farmers have had. When you have the spring, the planting conditions, excessive wet weather, now it's summertime and now it's excessively dry, they, you know, just can't catch a break in that front, so their plants are suffering as a result. And then, you know, on top of that, prices have been ebbing and flowing with, you know, each piece of news about China, about the negotiations, how they're going. And now that we have this news out that China is halting their purchases of U.S. ag exports, prices have reacted to that. And farmers, this is just one more problem that farmers have to deal with. It's something where, you know, farmers that we spoke to, they wonder how they're going to survive. And it's there's no clear answer to that.
Chinese buyers imported $19.5 billion in farm goods in 2017. The U.S. Department of Agriculture says China, Canada, and Mexico were among the biggest export destinations for U.S. agriculture commodities from 2009 to 2017. U.S. stocks stabilized on Tuesday after China said it wouldn't let the yuan fall much farther. It fell below the 7 yuan to the dollar level on Monday, sending global stocks sliding. The Dow fell 767 points on Monday, and the U.S. labeled China a currency manipulator. John Huntsman, the U.S. ambassador to Russia, will resign from his post in early October. The Salt Lake Tribune published a letter Huntsman sent to President Trump and speculated that Huntsman may be considering a run to become Utah's governor for a second time. Huntsman ran for president in 2012 and was selected as U.S. ambassador to Russia by President Trump in 2017. Public pension plans fell short of their projected returns this year, according to data released by the Wilshire Trust Universe Comparison Service on Tuesday. The trust says public plans with more than $1 billion in assets earned a median return of 6.79% for the year that ended June 30th, the lowest since 2016. The plans project a median long-term return of 7.25%. Eight of the 22 people killed in a mass shooting in El Paso, Texas on Saturday were Mexican. Authorities say the accused shooter wrote online that he was targeting Hispanics, and the shooting has raised anxieties on both sides of the border. Joining me now with more details is Wall Street Journal reporter Alicia Caldwell. Alicia, in your piece for The Wall Street Journal, you write that Saturday, when the shooting occurred, is typically a busy shopping day in El Paso. Some of the victims actually had traveled across the border from Mexico to shop at the Walmart there.
Right. It's kind of a routine around here. Folks from Mexico who have either traditional tourist visas or those with what's called a laser visa, which grants permission into the United States in, I believe it's a 30-mile commercial zone. You can come across the border, do your shopping, visit your relatives, have lunch, do whatever it is you're going to do. And then, you know, you go home in the afternoon. And it's a daily process here for people back and forth on both sides of the border. So Saturday was obviously no exception.
And Mexican shoppers do make up a big part of the local economy in El Paso.
They do. It's, again, you know, an everyday occurrence. Every day, you know, tens of thousands of people are crossing the border, according to U.S. Customs and Border Protection. In May, there were, I believe, 800,000 cars that passed through. Those are personal vehicles through the bridges in El Paso and just to the west in Sunland Park, New Mexico, which is practically part of El Paso in terms of the community. And more than 700,000 pedestrians. You know, those are folks who are crossing on foot, coming into the El Paso area on a monthly basis, and then generally, again, cross back over, usually at the end of the day, whether it's for work, school, visiting relatives or, again, predominantly shopping.
The shooting in El Paso obviously is raising anxieties on both sides of the border. On Monday, we heard from Mexico's foreign minister who spoke at the Mexican consulate in El Paso. What did we hear from him?
He raised concerns from the Mexican government. He declared this a terrorist attack against Mexican people, albeit in the United States, and said his government would be working to join the investigation, carrying out its potentially own investigation, and possibly asking for extradition of the suspect and looking toward any potential legal action against the gun manufacturer, the supplier of the gun in this instance.
And we are expecting President Trump to visit El Paso this week as well.
Correct. And there's a mixed reaction to that. The mayor of El Paso, Dee Margo, a Republican, has said this won't be a political visit and that as the chief executive of the city, we'll meet with the president and explain what's going on here and the impacts here in the community. Others, including Democratic presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke and Representative Veronica Escobar, have both said that the president is not welcome. There seems to be a mixed reaction among community members, given the nature of the rhetoric he has used in recent weeks, months, and years. And then you pair that with the manifesto the accused shooter is believed to have authored, and it's got some people here in town on edge.
Wall Street Journal reporter Alicia Caldwell, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Toni Morrison, the first Black woman to receive the Nobel Prize in Literature, died Monday at the age of 88. Morrison became one of the most celebrated writers of her time. In addition to winning the Nobel Prize in 1993, she also won the Pulitzer Prize in 1988 for Beloved. Morrison was also an editor and a teacher who chronicled the African-American experience and championed writers. The Wall Street Journal's Brenda Cronin has more on the legacy she leaves behind.
The importance of history, of family ties. You can see this in her address to the Swedish Academy. When she won the Nobel Prize, she speaks about this and the importance of remembering one's roots, one's experience, and one's relatives. And she grew up in very modest circumstances in Lorain, Ohio, and she remembers her grandparents. She remembers them speaking about that, and she said that she knew even as a child the power of words. She was a huge reader as a child. And as an adult, she realized that having a huge audience gives one a great platform. So her personal experiences informed everything she wrote. I've spoken with people who knew her very well professionally and personally, and they recollect that she had a very different side personally. Professionally, she knew that she was a very important figure on the public stage, and she was a very confident writer, and she embraced that role because it was a platform for which she could use for many good things. She championed a lot of important things dear to her, such as libraries. But in private, she could be very, very witty, less imposing, less, as once one friend said to me, people were scared of her, and she wanted them to be. However, in private, this person remembered her as one of the funniest people she knew, a person who loved to give parties, a person who had a great sweet tooth, who liked restaurants better for their desserts than for their main courses, and who was very fond of clothes.
Morrison was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom by President Obama in 2012. For more on her life and legacy, please head to our website, WSJ.com, or the WSJ app. That's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.